Amen. Matthew chapter 5. And our text for this evening is the verse 5. Matthew 5 and verse 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The dear Savior here leads us to take another step, as it were, on the pathway to blessedness. It is like Jacob's ladder, where every rung is a blessing. If climbed, will take us up to where the air is pure and ethereal. And certainly if we climb this blessed ladder, we will rise above the world. Above the world and its ways, and certainly its wickedness. The psalmist speaks about this third rung in this ladder, then proceeds to show us not meekness, but the malice of the wicked. If you turn, please, to Psalm 37. There in Psalm 37, the verse 11. Psalm 37 and verse 11. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. So here we have the psalmist prophesying what the Lord then did say in the Sermon on the Mount. You look at verse 12. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. Verse 14, the wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy and to slay such as be of upright conversation. You look at the verse 32 of the same psalm. The wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. So you have the contrast. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. But then you have the contrast of the wicked, those who are not meek. We see the wickedness. They plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The wicked have drawn out the sword, and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy, and to slay such as be of upright conversation. You see the wicked, and they stand against the child of God, against the people of God. The psalmist then shows what the latter end of the wicked will be compared to that of the meek. The meek, they'll inherit the earth. But the wicked, what will their latter end be? Verse 13, the Lord shall laugh at him, that's the wicked, for he seeth that his day is coming. The day of the wicked is coming. Verse 15. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. You can go down through the whole psalm. Verse 17. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The other verses there, but you can read through that psalm yourself and see the contrast between the meek and those who are wicked. This, of course, is in keeping with the Beatitudes as shown by the Savior. The meek shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the meek. Remember, we pointed out the word blessed is the highest form of happiness. That's what the word means. It is the highest form of happiness, joy, and blessedness. And that's the word the Savior uses when he's describing the meek, when he's describing the poor in spirit, when he's describing they that mourn and so forth, through all of the Beatitudes. The highest form of happiness, joy, and blessedness. Use a very strong word. So what did the Lord have to say about the meek? Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Let us then consider this beatitude in the words of the Savior, and first of all, consider the beauty of meekness. The beauty of meekness. And without a doubt, meekness is a beautiful virtue or grace when seen in the life of a Christian. And when we look into the Scriptures, we're given a beautiful portrait of the one who is meek. We must begin by looking, first of all, at the meaning of meekness. What does meekness mean? What is it to be meek? To show forth meekness in our day-to-day living? Well, first of all, let us look at it negatively. What meekness is not. There is some misunderstanding about meekness. Some think if there's a person who's meek, it means they're weak. They mistake meekness for weakness. We are told in Numbers 12 and verse 3 that Moses was very meek. Above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. That's the Lord's testimony of Moses. That's what the Lord, God of heaven, said about Moses. Moses was very meek. And when you think of Moses, as we've been doing in the morning services, you would hardly consider Moses as being weak. Certainly was meek, but you wouldn't call him meek or weak. Leading 2 million children of Israel through the wilderness and all that he had to contend with them and their murmuring against him and their criticism of him, as we'll see in a moment or two. He was certainly not weak. So meekness does not mean a person is weak. No, meekness is not weakness. Meekness also is not being vindictive. That's not meek. Does not retaliate. If someone is meek, they're not vindictive. If someone is meek, they do not retaliate. Someone who's meek is not selfish. Someone who's meek does not emphasize his or her rights. Someone who is meek is not cruel, and they're not unkind. Remember, we're looking at what meekness is not. We're looking at it negatively. That is why some regard a meek person, giving the list, we've already done so, doesn't retaliate, isn't vindictive, doesn't emphasize their rights and so forth. That's why some look upon someone who's meek as being a coward. Oh, you're sitting there and you'll not do anything or say anything. People can say all that they want against you. You're a coward. You're weak. That's how the world views meekness. So we've looked at it negatively. So let us then look at it positively. We've considered what being meek is not. Now what meek is. The Lord Jesus said, "Blessed are the meek." The word itself, the word meek, that the Lord uses here in our text, the word itself means easy. It means to be mild. It means to be gentle. Blessed are the meek, Blessed are those who are easy in mind and gentle. It involves patience. It involves long suffering. It involves gentleness and the will to refrain from retaliation. If you turn, please, to James, the Epistle of James. And there in the chapter 1, James 1 and verse 19, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." There's retaliation. "Slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." Slow to wrath. The Puritan, Thomas Manton, has a great book on the Beatitudes. And Thomas Manton said that meekness is, quote, "the bearing of injuries, the forgiving of injuries, and the recompensing good for evil." That's his definition of meekness. The bearing of injuries, the forgiving of injuries, and the recompensing good for evil. Isn't that what the Lord said? We're to pray for enemies and those that despitefully use us. That goes against the flesh, doesn't it? It goes against the old nature. But the Lord said, "Blessed are the meek." And again, remember the word blessed, the highest form of happiness, joy, and blessedness. Such a person is blessed indeed. I'll tell you something else. If you were to meet someone as the Lord describes them and the Word of God describes them, you would get a blessing from them. I'm sure you know believers, you know Christians. You've been in their presence and you've gone away and you've been blessed just through meeting them. There's a dear couple in our Newton Abbey church where I was, Georgina Brown's mum and dad, Mr. and Mrs. Abernethy. Oh, you talk about a meek couple. And in their latter years, when they were not able to get out to church all the time and they were weak in body, of course you went to visit them and to encourage them. Do you know what the result of that visit was? I was encouraged. Just being with them. It's such a meek couple. And the Lord says, "Blessed are the meek." So we have looked at the meaning of meekness, negatively and positively. We now look at the marks of meekness. How is this meekness actually seen and lived out in the life of the Christian? Well, as Manton said, meekness is the bearing of injuries. That is, when injured or offended or hurt by something that somebody says, we don't seek to retaliate. The old nature wants to do that. That's the way it is with the world, isn't it? That's the way it is with the world. You may have read stories or seen something on the news at some time. Somebody gets onto a train or a bus and they happen to bump into somebody accidentally and the person's offended and there's a fight. And a knife drawn out and somebody's stabbed. It's not the way of the meek. We read in 1 Corinthians 13. The apostle, of course, is speaking about the grace of Christian love. In 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. regarding those who have love. Charity, verse 4, suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Then verse 7, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. It's a picture of the meek. That's what can be said about meekness. Paul was dealing with love, but those words can be used to describe meekness. And certainly the psalmist David exhibited this meek spirit. If you turn to Psalm 38, and there in Psalm 38, we read in the verse 12, they also that seek after my life lay snares for me, and they that seek my hurt speak mischievous things, and imagine deceits all the day long, all against David. He knows what they're saying about him, malicious things, and how they lay snares for him to catch him up. But how does he respond? Verse 13. But I, as a deaf man, heard not. And I was as a dumb man that openeth not his mouth. There's meekness. He ignored what they said. Remember, my mother used to say, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Well, maybe that's not strictly true. Words can hurt. And no doubt David was hurt, but he turned a deaf ear and he kept his mouth closed. He didn't retaliate. He didn't say anything. Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 9, be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger rests in the bosom of fools. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger rests in the bosom of fools. You probably met individuals during the course of your life who get angry very quickly. And you say, well, that boy there has a short fuse. You don't say anything wrong about him or to him, and he flares up. Solomon, the wise man, said, be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger rests in the bosom of fools. No, the meek Christian will never hold spite or be consumed with bitterness. The meek are blessed, but the angry and the spiteful are not. There's nothing for them. So we have considered the meaning of meekness, the marks of meekness. Let us look at the means to meekness, to become meek. We want to consider what may lead to us possessing that meekness that the Savior spoke about. What we have to do to get to that place where we're blessed in the manner the Lord said, the meek are blessed. The highest form of happiness and joy and blessedness. Blessed are the meek. How do we get there? First of all, there's a study of the Scriptures. All that we want to know about meekness, we will find in the Holy Scriptures. There we will find examples of meekness, exhortations to meekness, and explanations about meekness. The Bible has much to say about meekness. And the more time we spend in the Word, and the more time that we study the Word, and the more often we meditate upon the Word, we will learn more about meekness, and we will become more and more meek. James said, James 1 and verse 21, receive with meekness the Word, the engrafted Word. So the study of the Word leads us to meekness. Receive with meekness the engrafted Word. Receive with meekness. Maybe sometime there's a word preached. And maybe it's very personal. And someone may say, who does he think he's talking to? No, receive with meekness. As the word of the Lord is preached in all its truth, and we've been reproved, we're being rebuked, the word of God is reproving us about some sin or slackness in our life as a Christian, let us receive it with meekness. And let us thank the Lord for it. Because no, we want to be better Christians, don't we? Reprove, rebuke. Paul says, preach the word and reprove and rebuke. What's that for? It's to make us better Christians. It's to make us more and more like Christ. To be more and more submissive, obedient to the Lord and His word and His command. And to receive the word readily and cheerfully. Receive with meekness the engrafted word. The means to meekness is the study of the Scriptures and the seeking of the Spirit of God. In Galatians, in chapter 5, we're given there the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And there in Galatians 5, we read in the verses 30, 22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. It's the fruit of the Spirit. And would that not lead us then to pray that the Lord would fill us with His Holy Spirit, that we might become more and more meek? Look at the following verses. Verse 24. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let not us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. Those following verses, you see how the meek ought to live. Let us pray that the Holy Spirit will so work in our hearts that we will indeed become more and more meek. We study the Scriptures. We seek the Spirit. And we need to be a student of the Savior. A student of Christ. We want to know what it is like to be truly meek. Study the Lord Jesus. What did He say? Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Matthew 11:29. We mentioned that verse a week or so ago. Take my yoke upon you. The reference there is to two oxen, and they're yoked together. One oxen is an older oxen that has been used to the yoke. The other is a young ox, and it is joined together with the older oxen, so the older can teach the younger. The Lord says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. That's what we do in anything, indeed in everything. We want to know about living the Christian life. Study Christ. Study the Savior. Look at Him. Study Him all the time. Matthew gives us a wonderful picture of the meekness of Christ. Over in Matthew 21, verse 4. All this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. You get that picture. And this is the fulfillment of Zechariah's prophecy. The king. Behold thy king. He's a king. Could you imagine what it would be like if at those times of the year the Queen of England leaves Buckingham Palace and rides through certain streets in London? Can you imagine what it would be like if you saw the Queen of England sitting on a donkey? You'd wonder, what's this? No, she should be in a golden carriage. Of course, that's how she does ride. But here's the King of Glory. And he's riding on a lowly beast of burden. And we read, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek. He's the picture of meekness. What a Savior we have. Natural man would not have wanted to do that. He would want it a big white stallion. Christ sat upon a beast of burden because he's meek. Who considered the beauty of meekness, want to look now at the behavior with meekness. So what is it to actually live day by day exhibiting the grace of meekness? Once again, we return to the Savior. Because if you want an example of meekness, you look to Christ, because there you have, first of all, a supreme example. A supreme example of meekness. Paul, when appealing to the believers at Corinth, in 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 1, Paul said, Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. I beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. What a lovely way to describe the Lord. By the meekness and gentleness of Christ. my own congregation know I preached on that text a number of months ago. And the title of my message was The Perfect Gentleman. Christ is the perfect gentleman. Spoke about the meekness and gentleness of Christ. And we have only to look at the gentlemanly behavior and the gentle behavior of the Lord Jesus. Look at how he responded or didn't respond to the scorn and to the ridicule. In 1 Peter 2, 1 Peter 2, you read in verse 20, "For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently. This is acceptable with God." There's meekness there. "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us." Listen. "Leaving us an example." "Leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously." Those are powerful words. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. He did not retaliate. And we know how he could. He's God. He suffered all in this quiet and meek way. Remember the words of the prophet regarding Christ. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Twice we're told that, to emphasize the fact. He opened not his mouth. His persecutors did their worst with the Lord Jesus. Yet because of his meekness and his gentleness, he opened not his mouth. To me, a supreme example of this is found in Matthew 27. And how can we read these verses in Matthew 27 without our hearts being touched? Matthew 27, we'll not take time to read it all. "Then the soldiers," verse 27, "of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers." 600 men. A band of 600 men. There's the dear Savior in the midst of them. And 600 cruel Roman soldiers around them. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. They plaited a crown of thorns. They put it upon his head, a reed in his right hand. They bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they spit upon him. Try and put yourself there. There's the dear Savior in the midst of this band of 600 men. put into an open shame. Then they spit on him. And the word there means they continued to spit on him. They spat on him again and again and again. And they put a reed in his hand and smote him on the head. And again, the word smote means that they hit him again and again and again. They kept on beating him. And you read down there to where they crucified him. And sitting down, they watched him there. And you read those verses from verse 27 down to verse 37. And not one word is recorded that came from the lips of Christ. Not a word did he speak. He bore it all. Because he's the perfect gentleman. Because he's meek and lowly of heart. Because he's meek and he's gentle. That's who he is. I find, you know, whenever you study incidents like that in the public ministry of Christ, you come to realize how little we know about him. We get all the facts and the figures. But to get to know him as a person, and how he responded, and how he behaved, and how he acted, we know so little about him. And how we need to study more and more of the life of Christ. And we need to get that yoke upon our necks. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly. That's where it is, in the heart. Regarding this meekness, we've seen Christ the supreme example. Next we see the saints' expression of meekness. We look at the different saints and how meekness is seen in their lives. We can look at the saints of God and how they behaved. We mentioned Moses. That verse in Numbers 12. In verse 3, now the man Moses was very meek above all men which were upon the face of the earth. Turn to Exodus, please. Chapter 15. And here's an example of his meekness. Exodus 15, verse 23. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the water of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. Notice something. When the people murmured against Moses and blamed him, that's what they were doing. They were blaming him for bringing them thus far, and the water, why, the water they couldn't drink. The waters may have been bitter, but there were no bitterness in Moses. He didn't retaliate. What did he do? He dropped down upon his knees. That's what he did. And he cried unto the Lord. He prayed. No wonder God said he was meek of all the men on the earth. You think of that crowd of Israelites coming and gathering around Moses and blaming him. He never said a word other than to the Lord. He bowed the knee and prayed. That was not just a once-only experience. If you turn to Exodus 17, in verse 3, and the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses, there's it again, and said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? Moses did not answer them. He remained silent, except to the Lord. And Moses cried unto the Lord. There you have the saint of God expressing meekness. Likewise, David, when he fled Jerusalem during Absalom's attempted coup, Shimei stoned David, stoned him, cursed him. One of David's bodyguards went to him and said, shall I draw the sword and cut off his head? David said, no. Leave him alone. Let the Lord deal with him. You can read about him in 2 Samuel 16, verses 8, 9, 11, and 12. You think of that man stoning David. It was in his power and his authority to say to his bodyguard, go ahead, draw your sword and end the life of that man, Shimei. But David, with that meek spirit, said, leave him alone. The Lord will deal with him. Blessed are the meek. David was completely surrendered to God's will, and in a wonderful display of meekness, refused to be vindictive, refused to retaliate, left it with the Lord. We've seen Christ, the supreme example. We've seen the saints' expression of meekness. And then there is a specific exhortation to meekness. We are exhorted to be meek. We've seen some examples. Now we say, well, what about me? What about us? Zechariah 2 and verse 3. Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment, seek righteousness, seek meekness. Seek meekness. The prophet of God is saying, we are to seek meekness. We're exhorted by Paul in Ephesians, in chapter 4. There in Ephesians 4, in the opening few verses, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness. Paul says, this is the way I want you to walk. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling. How does he want us to walk? With all lowliness and meekness. That's describing Christ, isn't it? For I am meek and lowly of heart. Paul, the course, give much advice to his son in the faith, Timothy. And in Timothy chapter 6, 1 Timothy 6, 1 Timothy 6 and verse 11, Paul said to Timothy, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things," that is covetousness and so forth. You can read it in the preceding verses. "But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness." 2 Timothy 2, verse 24. Once again, Paul's instructing his son in the faith. 2 Timothy 2, verse 24. "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth." We can go on and give other verses of Scripture. But we are being exhorted to seek meekness. Because the Lord said, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Their time is gone, but regarding this meekness, we have considered the beauty of meekness, the behaving with meekness, and then there is the blessing of meekness. The blessing of meekness. "Blessed are they that are meek," or "blessed are the meek, they shall inherit the earth." First of all, you have there a particular people. They shall inherit the earth. As we pointed out before, the word "they" is emphatic. They who are meek, they shall inherit the earth. A particular people, a precious promise. They shall inherit the earth. That's some promise. There is a promise from the Lord, and our God, we know, never breaks a promise. What did Paul say, 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 20? "For all the promises of God in Him," in Christ, "are yea, and in Him," Christ, "amen, unto the glory of God by us." In Him. They shall inherit the earth. So what's the earth? What did the Savior mean? The word "earth" may be translated "land." They shall inherit the land. So the Lord was speaking about a promised land. Now what it is? They shall inherit the land. There's the promise and the land. It's the promised land. Not how the Lord spoke to His people in the Old Testament. Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt to the land of promise. The land of promise for us is heaven. "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the kingdom of heaven." The meek shall inherit the promised land. The meek shall inherit the kingdom of heaven. You look there in the verse 3 of Matthew 5. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And glory to God, the kingdom of heaven is ours now. Look at the verse 10. "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." It's ours. There's the people, and there's the promise, and there's the place. You know something? We're sure of heaven as if we were already there. We shall inherit the kingdom of heaven. Theirs is, the Lord said, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It's ours already. and there's not but one empty seat in heaven. Every child of God will be there. Praise the Lord. The meek shall inherit the earth. That's why the Lord said, blessed are the meek. Remember, blessed, the highest form of happiness, joy, and blessedness. That's our portion. We're going to heaven one day. The children of the Lord have a right to shout and sing. The way is growing bright, and our souls are on the wing. We're going by and by to the palace of the King. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Kingdom is ours. The devil will not deny it. Deny us from entering the kingdom of heaven. Are we not blessed? Praise the Lord, we are. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts this evening. Let's bow in prayer. Our dear Lord and loving Father, we rejoice in all that is laid up for the child of God. All because the Lord loved us and gave Himself for us. Chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. We praise Thee, Lord, for that. And why we were chosen is a mystery beyond our ken. We're glad, Lord, we're numbered with the blessed. But Lord, we have a desire to be more like the Savior, to be conformed to the image of His person. Write this word upon hearts, we pray. May we indeed learn of the Lord, who is meek and lowly in heart. Lord, bless all gathered here tonight, all our visitors. May Thy good hand be upon them for good. Be with us now, Lord, as we leave the house of God. May we do so rejoicing in Christ. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and until the day breaks and the shadows all flee away. Amen.